Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather together today. What a privilege and an honor it is, we who are your people, to be able to come and gather together and worship thee, O Lord, when so many others have no care for your gospel, have no care for who you are, Lord. But you have given us an interest. You were born again by thy Holy Spirit, and we have an interest in who you are and what you've done, and we praise and glorify thee for what you've done for us. May you be lifted up high and mighty today through the preaching of thy word. May your people's hearts be lifted up in praise and adoration as we sing hymns and rejoice in the wonderful truths of the gospel. In your name we pray. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Today's message is called A More Sure Word of Prophecy. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 16 to 21. Peter writes to the born-again, blood-bought believers, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, which when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The name of the message today is A More Sure Word of Prophecy. Now, last week, we looked at verses 16 to 18, where we saw Peter bring forth that he was an eyewitness to the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was one of the three that were at the Mount of Transfiguration when our Lord was transfigured. And we considered that the gospel of the grace of God in and through Christ alone is not a cunningly devised fable. It's not a story that some men came up with, as some claim. It's not a story. It's not a cunningly devised fable. It's the truth. It's the truth. And we know that God, the Holy Spirit, is the author of the Scriptures. It's not a fictitious story that someone's telling with no truth behind it. Beloved, the gospel is fact. The gospel is truth. Is truth. And it speaks about the one who is truth incarnate. Remember, Christ himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." No other way. So it's all about he who is the way, the truth, and the life. The gospel is. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about God who became a man. Fully man and yet fully God. And it's Christ, the God-man, who received glory and honor when the Father spake from him, spake from heaven and said of him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Do you notice that? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That cannot be said of anyone else in the natural flesh except Christ. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God is well pleased with him. And then the voice from heaven said, "Hear ye him." Oh, may God give you ears to hear if you've never heard his voice. Oh my. Now Peter and James and John were eyewitnesses to the majesty of Christ. He was transfigured in front of them. That would be something they would never forget. That would be something they would never forget. And they would tell others about it. And they were ear witnesses too, to the Father's voice from heaven. They heard this when they were with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And take note that in these verses here, we have a threefold witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know from the Holy Scriptures and the Old Testament that the Word of God proclaims in Deuteronomy 19:15, "At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." Deuteronomy 19:15. at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. For something to be counted as fact and not fiction, then it had to come at the mouth of two or three witnesses. It had to come at the mouth of two or three witnesses. It must be established on the principle of these witnesses. Now take note, Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, brings this truth forth in establishing the truth. They proclaim that, first of all, Peter proclaims that this gospel that he preaches is not a cunningly devised fable. It's not a cunningly devised fable. But God himself gives witness to it. Noticed in this text, we read Peter, again, will give us a threefold witness of the true gospel of God's grace in and through Christ Jesus. Why? To prove to us that what we believe is not just some story. Now, there's many people out there who claim the Bible is just a book written by men. I've ran into them many times and witnessed to people. I've seen it and read it online. People just don't believe the Bible. They just believe it's a storybook. Well, they just show their utter ignorance, don't they? And you know what? I can't really put them down because I was there at one time too. But it just shows the depravity and ignorance of man in natural state. This gospel is not a cunningly devised fable. It's not a story. It's truth proclaimed. It's truth proclaimed. God's people take God at his word. Unbelievers don't. Unbelievers don't believe what the word of God says. God's people believe what the word of God says. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And he guides us and directs us into all truth. Again, unbelievers do not believe the word of God. They think it's of man's making. Not knowing that the author of this book is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Again, let's read verses 16 to 21. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So again, this isn't just someone telling you a story. This is someone who actually was there and saw what occurred. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Again, God is only pleased with Christ, no one else. But think of this, if you're in Christ, God's pleased with you. That's wonderful news. Outside of Christ, God's not pleased with no one. But in Christ, oh my, oh my. In this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount, we have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The first witness of the threefold witnesses here, the first witness the apostle Peter brings forth is the apostles. Peter, James, and John. They were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They were eyewitnesses of who he was. Then we have the witness of the Father in verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So the Father is the second witness. And thirdly, the witness of the prophets. The witness of the prophets, as Peter brings forth, that we also have a more sure word of prophecy. That's the prophets, beloved. That's the prophets. Verse 21 proclaims, not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by who? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the author of the Scriptures. And we believe this. We who are God's born-again blood-washed saints, we believe this because we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We didn't believe this before the Lord saved us. Now we do. We believe this. We've been enlightened by God, the Holy Spirit, to see by God-given faith the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're delivered from the power of darkness. And we believe what the prophets of the Old Testament proclaimed. Being taught by God, the Holy Spirit, that all the Old Testament prophets wrote about who? Who did the Old Testament prophets write about? Christ. Christ. That's who they wrote about. So with that as our introduction for today's lesson, let us look at our text again in verse 19. We see we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now Peter was not speaking lightly of what had happened to him and James and John at the Mount of Transfiguration. What he and the other two apostles witnessed could not have been anything but positive proof that the Lord Jesus Christ was who he said he was. He's God. He's the promised Messiah. He's the eternal Son of God. And they were privileged to experience what occurred there at the Mount of Transfiguration. That was a privilege for them. As Pastor Henry Mahan comments on the words of this text, we have a better foundation as believers and a more sure evidence of Christ in the gospel than an eyewitness account of his glory, because we have his word. We have his word. And that is the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament revelation given by the Holy Spirit in Peter's day. A man's testimony is to be received only if it is according to the scriptures. If people did that nowadays, there'd be a lot of nonsense that would just go the wayside. A lot of what people claim out there, if people just looked at what the Word of God said instead of believing what some man says, they'd realize people were lying to them. The Word of God is the final test. This is our final authority, beloved. This Word right here, this book, is our final authority. And it tells us about Christ. You do well to take heed to the scriptures and weigh every man's word accordingly, Brother Henry says. That's good sound advice. That's good sound advice. So let us then carefully consider the words of the Holy Scripture that Brother Henry Mahan referred to. Let us consider the importance of these holy inspired words when it says we also have a more sure word of prophecy. What does the scriptures proclaim in the Old Testament? In Isaiah 8:20 it says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Now if you weigh that compared to what some people are saying out there, well, it's very easy to see that there's no light in them. There's hundreds of men standing up in pulpits today telling people what they have to do. Telling people what they have to do. And the scripture says that if they're not telling you about Christ, there's no light in them. Right? Because this book's all about Christ, isn't it? That's who we preach and proclaim. Not about what we have to do, because we know from studying the scriptures, we've been taught by the Holy Spirit of God, because we can't be haughty about it, because we've been taught this by the Holy Spirit of God, that there's nothing good in us. That there's nothing in us that would gain merit and favor with God. That if we are to, and I was reading an excellent article by Joe Terrell this morning, he brought out a wonderful point. He said, we rejoice that we're justified before God, but we rejoice in the justifier, the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice that we're pardoned and all our sins are forgiven, but we rejoice in the pardoner of all our sins. You see, it always goes back to Christ. It always goes back to Him, no matter what. No matter what. To the law and to the testimony, they speak not according to this word. If they speak not according to the Scriptures, there's no light in them. There's no light in them. That's what it says in Isaiah 8:20. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians. And again, according to the Scriptures is the key. According to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. And I want us to think about something as we read this. If you have an understanding of the Scriptures, give God all the glory. Thank Him and praise Him that you're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Because not everyone has an understanding of the Scriptures. All we have to do is look back to where before we were saved. And sure, we may have read the Bible, we may have looked at the Scriptures, but I'll tell you, I had no understanding. I had no understanding until the Lord saved me and I was born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received. So God's people receive the gospel. We receive it. There was a time when we didn't. But when we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, when we're taught of God, we receive the gospel. And we receive it with joy. With joy. Because it's all about Christ and all about what He's did. And wherein ye stand. We stand in the truth of the gospel, don't we? We don't stand in man's word. We don't stand in cunningly devised fables. No, we stand in the sure word of God, which tells us about Christ, our great Redeemer, our Savior. We stand in Him, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, unless you just made an empty profession. But if you really believe, this is sweet, this is honey to your soul. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how Christ died for our sins, what? According to the Scriptures. According to, that's the key right there. According to the Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day again. According to the Scriptures. What did the saints in Berea do? What did the saints in Berea do, beloved? Well, the Scriptures proclaim that they searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. So they heard the preacher preach, and then they searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so. Always measure a man by the Scriptures, what he preaches by the Scriptures. Check out the Scriptures. See what they say. Every gospel preacher will say, search the Scriptures. Because we know they testify of Christ. They testify of the one we proclaim. That's who they testify of. And the Scriptures are our final authority. Not man, not man's opinion. The Scriptures are our final authority. Man may say what they want. And they may say how they feel about certain things. But the believer bows his knee to the Scriptures and says, thus saith the Lord. It don't matter. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in witnessing to them and what they want to do. The first thing they want to do is tell you what they think. And I often stop them. And I don't be rude about it, but I'll stop them and I say, it really doesn't matter what you think. What does the Scripture say? Let's look at what the Scripture says. Always, when you're talking with someone about Christ, take them to the Scriptures. Don't just give them your opinion. Take them to the Scriptures. Take them there. Because they can't fight it. If they profess Christ, they can't fight the Scriptures. Although they do. They wrestle them. You know. But oftentimes, when you take them to the Scriptures, and you just say, take this home and read it. One of the guys I talked to, he's coming around to what we believe. He's seeing it more and more. But I constantly point him to the Scriptures, point him to the Scriptures, point him to the Scriptures. That's all you can do, beloved. Just keep pointing them to the Scriptures and say, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Listen to the words of the Master when he was talking to unbelieving Jews. Do you know what he said to them? He said, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. John 5:39. They testify of Christ, beloved. They testify of Christ. Now, the Jews were very religious, weren't they? And very devout. Very religious and very devout. They thought they had eternal life based upon their works. Based upon who they were. They said, well, we're the sons of Abraham. Doesn't matter. A lot of people claim, well, I go to this certain church that claims that they're the one true church. No, they're not. I go to this church, they say you got to be baptized to be saved. That's a false gospel. Well, I go to this church, they say you got to worship on Saturdays, or you took the mark of the beast. That's a false gospel. You see, it's all things men do. The gospel preacher preaches and proclaims Christ, who's finished the work. He did it all in the room and place of his people. So people are very religious. People are very religious. But they're based their salvation upon their own self-righteousness, beloved. I know I was there. I was there. They don't base their righteousness on Christ and what he's done. Christ is not their righteousness. They base their standing before God on their works. But in the Scriptures, our righteousness is based upon what Christ has done. See, but men don't believe the Scriptures. Remember, the Lord was right before them when he said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. They were right there before him when he said that to them. Their doctrine was not according to God's words, because they were teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. Therefore, there was no light in them. They're nothing new under the sun. Men are still doing that today. They set conditions that you have to fulfill. Well, I'm thankful I'm trusting the one who the Scripture says did it all. Are you? We rest in him, don't we? We trust in him. Not what some man says we have to do. There's nothing new under the sun. It's the same today. The majority of professing Christians in our generation claim to believe the Scriptures, and some of them spend a whole lot of time in the Scriptures. I know some folks who profess Christ and it's obviously they don't know him, but they spend a lot of time in the Scriptures. But they're like the unbelieving Jews. Their thoughts of eternal life are based upon what they've done. And they're quick to tell you what they've done. They're quick to tell you what they're doing. They don't believe that Christ died for a particular people, that he laid down his life for his sheep. Just tell them that and watch the knives come out. They don't believe that our Savior, through the offering of himself, sanctified and perfected forever those he died for. Even though we're still sinners and yet we're saved by the grace of God. And when God looks upon us, he sees Christ. And when you tell them that when you say, well, I'm still a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace, they look at you like, what, you still sin? Yeah, and so do you. Because the Scripture says every man's a liar. Well, there are none righteous, no, not one, is there? Not one. They don't believe that Christ by himself purged our sins and that we're clothed in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ, because they're still going about trying to establish their own righteousness. Cease from your labors if you're doing that. Cease from your labors and just flee to Christ in Christ alone. He is the only hope for sinners. And they don't believe our blessed Redeemer by His own precious blood entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. My. Therefore, they don't believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. These word of faith guys out there, my, those guys, they tell you, well, you just got to have more faith. You got to have more faith. If you're sick, well, you got to have more faith. But I know every one of them goes to the dentist when they got a toothache, don't they? Yeah, they're hypocrites, Bob. They look to themselves, as Brother Joe brought out. They look to themselves and they don't look to Christ. They don't look to the one who's finished the work. But we do. Because we've been given. And think of this. Think of the privilege, if you're a born-again believer. Think of the privilege that God has revealed Christ to you. And passed by other family members who we love dearly. But He's revealed Christ to us. And we, by God-given faith, look to Him. It's a miracle of grace, beloved. We should be full of joy, shouldn't we? And rejoicing that He's done this for us. That He's done this for us. God's born again children don't think we have eternal life. God has been pleased to reveal His gospel truths to us. And we know that we have eternal life. We know that we have eternal life. Why? Because we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the Scriptures, beloved. We have the Scriptures. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life, 1 John 5:20. We know those things as God's born-again people. We know these things. We know, as 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we passed from death unto life. We're not the same person. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And we can say with the apostle, can you say this? Can you say this? Oh, the believer can say with the apostle Paul, I know whom I believed. I know who I believe. And I'm persuaded that He is able. There's the key words right there. That He is able. I ain't able. I'm not able to save myself. Are you able to save yourself? Because if you think you are, you're deceived. No one's able to save themselves. But He is able. I know whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. And we know that the only way we believe is because He's given us the gift of faith to believe. My. And we know that we're all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the what? Called according to His purpose. And God's people believe that, don't we? Because we have a more sure word of prophecy. This is what the Scriptures declare. This is not our opinion. Too many people base things that they believe on their opinion. But God says to us, your thoughts are not my thoughts. And your ways are not my ways. Sometimes we think we know better, but we don't. Oh my. Let's look at verse 19 again. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Note our text continues. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place. Here before us we have an illustration given to God's people, how we should lay the truths of Christ in the Holy Scriptures to our hearts. We should lay these truths to our hearts. During the night hours, our homes are dark and all the lights are turned off. Maybe there's one left on, but most of them are turned off. But for safety and comfort and enjoyment, we keep lights burning before we go to bed so we can still do things. Now, when we were lost and dead in trespasses and sins, we had no assurance of safety. We were living and loving the darkness that we were in. That's our natural state. That's man's natural state. We had no comfort. I ask you, before the Lord saved you, did you have comfort? Not true comfort. Not the comfort like the believer has in Christ. No joy, no saving light from Christ. We walked around in darkness, the scripture says. Listen to the words of the Master. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. He's the light of life, beloved. And the believer doesn't walk in darkness anymore. We did. We're born dead in trespasses and sins and groping around in the dark. We were sometimes darkened, but we are now light in the Lord. We're to walk as children of the light, beloved. We're to walk as children of the light. The Holy Scriptures will enlighten us as to how we're to walk before God and before the people of this world. And the reason why we are to walk is, that's the reason why we're to walk as children of the light. We're not what we used to be. Now we battle sin instead of loving it. Sin didn't bother me before I was saved. Did it bother you? Only when we got caught at something, right? Let's be honest. But now we hate it. Now we hate it. Hate it in ourselves. And our text says, you do well if you take heed. You do well if you take heed to this more sure word of prophecy, beloved, of the Scriptures. You do well. These words are a warning from God to us. We cannot possibly think that we're doing well if we neglect to study the Holy Scriptures. And we who are the people of God, we desire to grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophecy concerning Christ's second coming is as a light, beloved. It's as a light, a revelation of that which was in the dark. This truth lay hid as a secret and mystery in the heart of God, and which could not be made known by man had it not been foretold by God, the second coming of Christ. And the Scriptures proclaim that Christ will come again. And God's people, we believe it. He will. He's God. And what He says comes to pass. What He says comes to pass. He will come again. It's a revelation to God's people, this truth. And He will come again in great power and glory. And He'll raise the dead, and He'll judge all of mankind. All those who shook their fist at God and said, I don't believe in Him, they're going to face Him. And unfortunately, they're going to face Him if the Lord didn't save them in their own self-righteousness. And they'll be cast into everlasting torment forever. And we believe it because that's what God said. That's what the Scripture says. And Christ, who is the light of His people, shall come and be the light of His people. And then there follow everlasting day of glory when all darkness is gone. All darkness will be gone. And the saints shall see and look upon He who has redeemed their eternal souls. And you know what? We'll look upon Him forever. For eternity. There'll never be a time when we'll be separated from Him. Never. Right now we're separated from Him, but He's watching over us and guiding us and directing us through everything we go through. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But when we see Him face to face in glory, we shall never, ever be separated from our Lord. Ever. Ever. With that in mind, let's read our text again. It says, We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. It says, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The day dawn here speaks of the last day. It has reference to the dawning of the last day, the day of the blessed return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That again is speaking of the last day again. And the day star is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Revelation 22:16, where our Lord said, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Oh, praise be to our great God. We have a more sure word of prophecy, beloved. Peter got to see Christ transfigured, but we have a more sure word of prophecy right here in this book, beloved. Right here. And if a man doesn't speak according to this word, then there's no light in him. And God's people love to hear this word preached, and God's preachers love to preach this word because it tells us all about Christ. It tells us all about our great Redeemer, and we glorify Him. We glorify Him and we praise His mighty name. Heavenly Father, we thank You for allowing us again to gather together. Oh, it's glorious, Lord, that we have a more sure word of prophecy. But what's even more glorious is that You reveal Yourself to us. It's wonderful. It's amazing. To give us an understanding of this great, sure word of prophecy that we have here. Oh, glory to Your name. May You receive all the glory, honor, and praise today, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.